Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Day. Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be hearing from a local resident who traveled across the Sahara Desert raising funds for waypoints. But before we get into that discussion, joining me over the phone right now is Lynn Dana, who is the Area Information Officer for the Fort McMurray Forest Area with Alberta Wildfire. So first off, Lynn, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes, and wildfire season is officially underway across Alberta as of the 1st of March. Before we get into what people should know now that wildfire season is underway, I think it's fair to kind of look back at what happened last year. So how many wildfires were there last year again, and how much area did it burn?
In 2019, we had 80 wildfires that burned a total of 50,588 hectares. So of those fires, human caused were 36% and lightning were 64%.
36% for human caused. So that could mean, you know, OHVs, cigarette butts, is that right?
All of the above, including, you know, campfires that have been improperly put out or have been walked away from. That's a big issue. And the human-caused fires are typically seen in the early spring. That is where we have the most difficulty with them.
Why the early spring? Is it just people are kind of lackadaisical coming out of the winter? Is there a reason why early spring maybe compared to, I guess, the middle of summer?
It's typically caused by the ground being so dry. We've got, you know, dry twigs, dry grasses. We've got really low humidity in the air. The trees are at their driest. And so the spread of fire is very rapid in the spring, and it catches much quicker than it does, say, for example, in June, where we typically receive a lot of rainfall. Mm-hmm. So it's not that people are doing anything maybe that different in the spring, but the fires start much quicker and spread a lot quicker.
Makes sense for sure. The 36%, I'm not asking you to compare from like the last 5 years. That might be kind of tough, but is it on par with maybe what it's been like in previous years of how many fires have been human cause? And I guess overall, is it still a big concern across the province just how large that number is?
Yeah, human-caused fires. I mean, if we look back at the two largest fires we've had in the last decade, the Richardson Backcountry Fire, which was almost 700,000 hectares, and then the Horse River Fire, which was close to 600,000 hectares, both human-caused, both in the spring. So that is a really big issue. If we look back, say, to 2018, human-caused was 23% in 2017, human caused was 28%. So we're up last year over what we were the two previous years in terms of percentage of human caused fires.
So definitely a little bit of a rise. So what do residents need to know? Or I guess, what are some tips that you have to make sure people avoid starting fires at all costs?
Well, really what they need to do is just be cautious. Enjoy the forest, have your campfire, but just make sure that it's soaked really well. Put your hand in there. If it's warm, it needs a bit more water. OHVs, whenever you're out there riding, clear the hot spots, picking up of the dry grasses. When you look at those engines being 200 degrees Celsius, dry grass drops off, it starts a fire. So always clear those spots, carry a bucket, carry a little shovel, you know, have water with you so that if you do see a spark come off, you can put that out right away. And if you can go back the same way you came, you can always check your trail on the way back.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And when it comes to permits, what's that situation like? So if someone, say, wants to have a campfire, they need a fire permit. Is that correct?
No, everything except warming fires requires a permit after March 1st. A regular campfire, you're fine. You don't need a permit for that. The only time that is really a factor is when we put out a warning or put on a fire ban. Then there's no campfires. But warming fires do not require a permit. But if you're doing brush burning or you're burning, dead and down piles, those require permits.
All right. Well, Lynn, is there anything else you'd like to add? Maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about.
No, just be very careful in the spring. It is, like I said, the most volatile time and the driest part of the year. And everybody can have a great time, but just make sure that you're very cautious with fire.
All right. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for having this chat. I know there's still snow on the ground, but it's never too early to have a chat about being cautious during the wildfire season.
You bet. Thanks, Darren.
Once again, that was Lynn Dana, who is the Area Information Officer for the Fort McMurray Forest Area, talking about Alberta's wildfire season, which officially got underway on Sunday. They are reminding residents to be extra careful when they're out in the forest area. Campfires are allowed. There is no permit needed as of right now. And people who want to use an off-highway vehicle are encouraged to do so, but just to make sure to clear their engine from muskeg, to make sure that nothing can start a potential fire. So if you're looking for more information, make sure you head to the Mix News page. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to be hearing from a local resident who walked across the Sahara Desert raising funds for waypoints.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, before the break, we had a chance to hear from Lynn Dana, who is the Area Information Officer for the Fort McMurray Forest Area, talking about Alberta wildfire season, which officially got underway on Sunday. If you're looking for more information, including some tips to make sure you avoid starting any potential wildfires, make sure you head to the Mix News page. And now joining me over the phone right now is Julio Flores. And Julio, all right, so first off, Julio, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes. And it wasn't that long ago that we had you on the show talking about your event, Birchwood for Ben. But I recently found out that you're this incredible man doing all these great things for many nonprofits across the community, including Waypoints. And you had a chance to go and walk the Sahara Desert raising funds for Waypoints. Can you just share with our listeners what was going on?
Certainly, yes, and thank you for reaching out. I guess I was lucky enough to be selected amongst many applicants from 17,000 realtors throughout the country to go to this Sahara trek, and we go there through the National World Page Shelter Foundation, and what we do is we cover our own expenses, etc., but we encourage our sponsors and supporters, thank God for them, to help us raise funds to provide money for the shelters across the country. So myself, the money I raised is all 100% goes to nonprofit. So 80% of whatever I raise stays here in the community, and the other 20% stays with the our funding partner, which is the Canadian Women's Foundation, which in turn supports organizations in the community or in other communities. So, yeah, that's how it happened.
Fantastic. And I have to ask, because I'm assuming a lot of people probably have already asked this question when they hear that you took this trip, but walking across the Sahara, what was that like?
It was just humbling, interesting, and a great, great opportunity to reflect, to think about many different things in life, etc. So it's a beautiful opportunity. This is the third time that I do something like that. I've been to Machu Picchu. I've done Iceland as well. And there are days when we just walk for 12, 14. One day we walk for 16 hours. And it's a beautiful opportunity, really, to reflect and to enjoy nature and to just be motivated and think about, you know, why we do things, and just kind of an encouragement to continue to do the same kind of things, really.
I'm curious. We all heard, you know, all these rumors about, you know, deserts and just how hot they are during the day. Walking through one, how hot did it get?
Many surprises I had there. The first one was seeing mountains. You know, but yes, of course, the Atlas Mountains are there in that part of the world. We were doing the Sahara part two in Morocco, so the Atlas Mountains are there where they actually have skiing and all of that. So that was an interesting thing to discover. And then during the day, it really got warm, very hot. We had organized it to go in November, so it wouldn't be as hot as during the warmer months. Mm-hmm. So it got really hot at some time during the day, but the other very surprising thing was how cold it was at night. There were many nights where I chose not to stay up after eating and then just rather go into my sleeping bag early so that I could just stay warm, because it really got cold at night. So it was very interesting. So a lot of assumptions, not true until you experience those things.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any mirages out there in the sand?
I don't think I did.
I have to ask, Julio. I got to ask if the heat was getting to you or not.
Absolutely. No, it was the local people were fantastic. The Moroccans were absolutely amazing, their hospitality and help. And we had some beautiful camels that were not far from us in case we ever needed anything. And it was not too bad.
If you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Julio Flores, who recently traveled to Morocco in November, walking across the Sahara Desert around 100 kilometers, raising funds for Waypoints. So, Julio, make sure you stick around, as I still have a few more questions I'm hoping to ask about your trip to Morocco and the Sahara Desert. But we have to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Culligan Water,
Fort McMurray Orthodontics,
and Cooper and Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, earlier in the show, we had a chance to hear from Lindana, who is an area information officer for the Fort McMurray Forest area, as the Alberta wildfire season officially got underway on Sunday. So if you want some more tips about how to make sure you avoid starting any fires at all, make sure you head to the Mix News page. And joining me over the phone is Julio Flores, who we were chatting with before the break. And Julio, you recently traveled to Morocco, where you had a chance to walk across the Sahara Desert around 100 kilometers, where you raised around $6,000 for Waypoints. And I know we had a chance to talk a little bit off air about your trip, and you mentioned you were the only one from Fort McMurray who took part. How many people across Alberta took part, and maybe even across Canada?
Again, there were many applications from throughout the country. Many applications. A lot of people just had to accept the fact that it was only 120 of us, and so it was this time around we had about six people from Alberta, and all together from the country it was 120 of us.
120, six from Alberta, and you're the only one from Fort McMurray.
Yes,
that must have been just a, you know, a special. Maybe just talk about the overall trip, and obviously it's for a good cause, but being able to, you know, experience Morocco, experiencing the desert, and while all raising funds for Waypoint.
One of the things that we did as an organization was every day when we stopped to eat, we actually read letters that were written and submitted to the foundation by victims of violence and domestic abuse. And you can just imagine, it was a good reminder, you know, why we were there, that it was worth to continue to do these kinds of things, to provide the support and money for these for the shelters across the country. And there were times we were just in tears to hear these stories that that some families and you know, women and children fleeing domestic violence have to go through.
That's unbelievable, Julio. I'm sure those stories really helped, you know, push through the pain and maybe the heat, and really, you know, helped you continue it.
Well, it was it certainly was like that. There was, I never seen so many blisters in my entire life, and we had it was unreal. And you know, kudos to the doctors that, you know, just get right into those things and tackle them and fix them and get people just to continue to move. We also had a serious incident. Somebody had a heart attack right on the last day, and we were fortunate to have a very good team, a really good doctor there, that the diagnosis was right on, and she had to be driven and flown out of there, but everything ended up being just fine. So yeah,
that's good to hear. Well, Julio, I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate you taking a couple minutes, but before I let you go, is there anything else you'd like to add, maybe we didn't have a chance to chat about?
No, I thank you very much. You know, I think one of the main reasons why I do these things is to create awareness, because although it's an unfortunate situation that happens, it is still a huge issue in our society, and I think it's important to bring awareness about it, and awareness comes in many different levels. So I appreciate you reaching out. I really do. Thank you.
As soon as I heard Sahara Desert, I'm like, oh, people definitely want to hear this story.
it was a lot of fun, so I'm grateful I got to do it.
All right.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Julio Flores, who recently traveled to the Sahara Desert in Morocco, raising around $6,000 for Waypoints. So if you're looking for more information about Julio's incredible story, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at Mix 103.7 FM.com.